it's really nice to be in person, Marcus. It's been a long day. We've been talking a lot about returns and investments and all kinds of stuff. It's been good.
Yes, it's been great. And as we know with markets, there's always something new to talk about. So always fun to get together.
So this is going to be our first podcast. We're trying a little bit different style of communicating to our clients this time. In the past year, we've worked hard on doing some webinars. We've had some resources from Dimensional Funds and some other conversations, but just webinar style, more live. So we're going to start doing these quarterly market reports. And we thought a better or a different format that we could provide to clients that might give some flexibility in terms of when they listen and how they listen might be a little bit more podcast style. These are going to be a little bit shorter, 20-minute discussions around what the market looked like in the past quarter and just some of the hot topics that people that are on people's minds. So I'm here today. My name is Jim Kantowski, by the way. I'm the Chief Investment Officer of Bay Point in Annapolis, and I'm also a co-founder of the firm. And I have the pleasure of being with my colleague, Marcus Schaefer, who is a vice president at Dimensional Fund Advisors, who we've worked with a long time. And I believe he did the January webinar with me, which was quite a bit of fun.
It was a lot of fun. Yes. Yeah. Thanks everybody for listening in.
Yeah, this is great. So Marcus, let's just hit it. We're going to try and keep this to 20 minutes. So what about the second quarter of 2021? What did that look like?
Yeah, second quarter of 2021 was absolutely great. I mean, the U.S. stock market was up over 8%, which is three times kind of the historical average. So if you're keeping track at home compared to what we've seen in the past, it was a great quarter. You think about international diversification. International developed stocks were up over 5%, as well as emerging markets. So in general, we saw a broad global stock market recovery continue, which is terrific news if you're invested in stocks. Real estate was one of the top performing asset classes. Global real estate was up about 10%. And also bonds continued with some positive returns. So
it's interesting. The bonds had the positive returns. I get a lot of questions from clients about, the bonds not being a great place to be now is what I hear often.
Yeah, it's a fair question, because what we're seeing is we're seeing incredibly low yields and some talk about inflation, and maybe we can regroup on that. But, there's multiple ways to get return from fixed income. Yield is one component, but positive performance, which, I think as we look back, fixed income has done a lot for us over the past few years, and it's continuing to perform very well.
Yeah, fixed income, I guess, was a little volatile during the pandemic, but it's really nice to have that as part of the portfolio to provide that stability and reduce the volatility of an overall portfolio. We're not always going to see these great positive returns, as you've mentioned here.
Yeah, and depending on what kind of asset class or part of the bond marketplace you were looking at last year, bonds did very well above their historical average, despite one of the most volatile time periods, a time period where there was a lot of market news around difficulty of trading in fixed income and bonds. So, bonds have done great in the past. Now, what we know going forwards is, maybe with low yields, we might expect a little bit lower return. So who knows what we're going to see, but I think they've done great in the past. They've kind of punched above their weight over the past little bit. So I think thinking about them as the ballast, as the volatility dampener for a portfolio is the right way to think about them at this point in time.
Yeah, they're not super exciting, and we don't want to spend an entire podcast on bonds, certainly. But thanks for going into that. Do you have any detail on like the sub asset classes, the small, the value? We heard a lot about over the last year about the tech bubble, and or not the tech bubble, the FANG stocks, and how they outperformed everything. Do you have any data on this last quarter for those stocks?
Yeah, definitely have some data. Maybe I'll kind of back up a little bit, going back to October 1st through the end of March. It was the best time period for small cap value since World War II compared to large cap growth. So in terms of kind of the diversifier that I think we talked about during our last webinar, you want to be broadly diversified across different types of stocks. And by holding those, you got great returns kind of heading into the quarter. Now that kind of sets the stage for large cap growth did have a better quarter in terms of performance. Mm-hmm. But if you kind of were to back up and look at that 9-month time period, still small cap values outperforming large cap growth by a pretty significant.
Would you mind doing me a favor? Most of what you hear on the news is the S&P 500, the NASDAQ, the Dow. Talk to me about what small cap value, can you define that a little bit for me? Give me what that looks like, and maybe in terms of a couple examples of companies or metrics that people might be interested in.
Yeah. So when people are talking about small caps or large caps, they're referring to the market value of those companies. So if you think about a company like Apple, that's a $2 trillion company, give or take. We're to say give or take $100 million or so, depending on the day. But that's going to be a large cap. And when you see the market news and the market indices like the S&P 500, something like the Dow Jones, at least the S&P 500, that's going to be market cap weighted, which means Apple's going to be a bigger proportion of that. So you got about 500 names. Apple is a significant chunk of that, maybe 3 to 5% of that. And then what we're talking about small caps is companies, call it $5 billion in valuation or smaller. So they tend to be involved in different aspects of the economy. They might be growing companies. They might be more U.S.-centric. It kind of runs the gamut, but what we're talking about is just smaller companies, which is what small caps is meant to denote.
Just help me understand a little bit about the value piece of that, because we tend to talk about small cap is one aspect, and then we add this word value or growth typically to the as the next word to describe some of these stocks.
Yeah. Value is meant to define a type of investing, and the type of investing is really thinking about getting a great value for whatever price you're paying. So I think one of the most common ways people are defining value is a low price to book ratio, or for any given market capitalization of a company, if the company's worth $5 billion, you take the share price, you times it by the shares outstanding, they might have $5 billion of book assets. Think property, think equipment. What are those assets to those companies? So that book value, and combined with the price metric, that's going to give you a price to book ratio of 1. It's kind of value. Whereas if you look at the opposite end of that, there's kind of growth companies, and those companies you're paying, a price to book ratio of 10, 15, 20, maybe at the extremes. These are definitely extreme examples. Mm-hmm. And what that's really saying is you're paying a lot of money for any given level of that company's assets. And the intuition that people are thinking about this from is growth. In order to justify that value, they're kind of anticipating really high growth.
So the projection is that a growth stock is going to get bigger faster than a value stock. Does that describe it?
I think that's a fair way to describe it. I mean, that's what everybody's trying to do with every stock.
Yeah.
We want it to grow more than the rest.
Yeah. So, but we tend to weight our portfolios a little bit more towards these smaller stock and these value stocks with the thought that these stocks are going to be actually the ones that outperform these larger, growthier stocks. And that tends to be Dimensional's perspective. And that's how Dimensional got started, a small cap and value portfolio. And so that didn't work out in the last few years leading up to the pandemic, and it was amplified during the pandemic. But then, as you mentioned earlier in our conversation, that changed quite a bit over the last year and outperformed growth stocks significantly.
Exactly. And this is not just what Dimensional believes. This is what kind of the research shows. Yeah. That when you look at stock market returns going back to the mid 1920s, so almost 100 years ago, small cap value companies have higher returns. They have had higher returns than large cap growth, and there's a really sensible economic reason for that. And so that's the expectation. As we know, looking at any given quarter, like compare the first quarter of last year to the second quarter of last year, those are two vastly different environments. And which gives the difference between researching and investing, and there is a difference there.
So I guess one of the points we try to highlight often is when you see, like, when we talk about historical returns, you know, we see, you know, this large cap growth outperforming, you know, small cap value this quarter by, you know, 5 or 6% or whatever the number was. There might be some tendency to think that that's going to continue to happen in the future. And that's not always the case, because if you go back the previous quarter, you would have seen the complete opposite in these numbers. So, you know, although we feel like we need to talk about performance a lot, we need to educate clients and customers, you know, in regards to what happened in the past quarter, we're not necessarily making decisions based on, you know, short-term performance. So,
I get it. I'm sure your clients have a lot of money invested with you, and you know, it's important to understand how you're allocated. It's important to understand what the performance is, how Baypoint's monitoring investments. I think that's all highly relevant to somebody's financial future.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So overall, the quarter was a good quarter, and you know, the market as a whole was up. We talked about the U.S. market being up, real estate being one of the top performers. What are some of the things that are on people's minds? We're getting questions about, probably the biggest one is inflation. You know, what should we do? Should we do anything different because of this inflation noise that we're hearing in the news, you know, or wherever you get your information from?
Yeah. And maybe first, you know, just level set, what is inflation? How are the markets trying to measure that? I think inflation is really the price of the goods you want to buy. It's increasing, right? So that's everything from the washer and dryer I have that's stuck getting shipped somewhere and nobody knows where, to cars, to gasoline, to your house.
Lumber,
the price of goods getting more expensive, which, you know, do we kind of expect things to get more expensive over time? Yes, we do expect that. Now, I think the second question is, how much inflation is a good thing, and what should we be thinking about doing, and how should we be thinking about handling
it? There seems to be this expectation that there's going to be a lot of inflation in the near-term future. Is that showing up in data that we currently have? Is that just an expectation that people are talking about? Do you have any sense of what it looks like currently?
Yeah, a lot of the conversation is expectations for the future, right? That's what the market is trying to do. All the investors out there are trying to say, okay, what is my expectation for the future? And then me as an investor, that can help me determine the impact upon my portfolio. And in fact, this is what every single company that kind of has exposure to a lot of these different components of inflation, what they're doing. You know, if you're an airline, one of the things you're doing is you're thinking about, how can I hedge my exposure to gasoline prices, right? Because you got to fly your planes. So if you own a globally diversified portfolio that owns airline stocks, you in a sense are also having exposure to certain companies that are working to hedge some of those concerns that are already there.
There seems to be an expectation that inflation will have a negative effect on portfolios for whatever reason. It just seems like the question is, hey, you know, this inflation's coming up. It seems to be a known fact. You guys can't see me, but I'm making quotes here. So, you know, there's this expectation that it's going to happen. And for some reason, there is this expectation that it's going to be negative effect on portfolios, that people want to tend to make changes in order to avoid it or minimize the effect. Is there any way to figure out through historical data or through the research that Dimensional does, if there is any impact from inflation?
Yeah, we've actually done some recent research on this and have shared it and can share it again with you. But when we're looking at the effect on of inflation on stocks and different types of stocks, you know, one of the things we're asking ourselves is how much power can this explain? And if you're looking at, you know, what's inflation's effect on stock markets on any given day, you know, there could be a lot of other factors that's at work there. So what Dimensional tries to do is we try and expand some of the time horizons, which I think is a pretty sensible way to look at it, because it helps you have more explanatory power, but it's also a more realistic time period for investors. You know, nobody's investing in stocks for tomorrow. Maybe they are, but one of the things
some people are.
Yeah.
We're not, but yes.
Maybe they're on Reddit, you know?
That's right.
And one of the things our research has shown is that a good hedge against inflation is stock markets. Small cap value, large value, stocks in general, fixed income, shorter duration fixed income. You're kind of able to reinvest at potentially higher interest rates is another great way to hedge against rising rates. So in a sense, portfolios might already be diversified and able to hedge out some of these supposed risks. And it's important to remind everybody that next quarter, if we're talking again, there's probably going to be a new risk. Maybe it's the same, but this is markets, you know, there's a risk, and that's why we expect higher return.
Yeah, there's always a risk around the corner. All right, so I appreciate you explaining the inflation piece of that. What else has been going on? What other questions you guys get? We get a lot on cryptocurrencies. The Bitcoin tends to be fairly volatile these days. It's gone down significantly. It was in the news quite a bit. It was rising fast, but now it has retreated quite a bit. So how should people think about things like Bitcoin and investing in something like that?
Yeah, it's, you know, the most important thing is probably talk to your advisor, see how something fits into your overall portfolio. When Dimensional is looking at something like Bitcoin, we're thinking, how should we evaluate this? And one of the questions we ask is, how does the available universe, how does the size in terms of assets that Bitcoin has compared to alternative ways to invest? And what that does is it helps us get a sense for, okay, if we were just to buy every asset in their proportional weights, how much weight should we attribute to something like Bitcoin? And, you know, the answer is it's a relatively small part of a portfolio. So if you're going to think about holding it at kind of a market neutral weighting, a relatively small amount. And then, you know, one of the bigger questions is, what value do you expect to get from Bitcoin? And right. I think that's the true question that investors should be asking.
What makes it valuable? I mean, it's really only what somebody's willing to pay for it. There's no cash flow behind it. Yeah. There's no assets behind it. So it's interesting.
And it's really important. You think about companies, why would you invest in a company? Well, there's the assets behind the company, but there's also, you expect that company hopefully to have profits and you as a shareholder to get a piece of those profits. Bitcoin, there is the Bitcoin behind it, which the value is fluctuating, as you mentioned, but what's it producing in itself? So I think that's, you know, a really big question. And it's important. There's kind of a difference between Bitcoin and blockchain technology, which might enable some business advancements.
So there might be some reason to invest in that sort of technology. And, you know, there may be some value behind companies developing that. And I would assume that that's in some of the portfolios that clients already own, because you know, we're diversified across the world in small companies and large companies, and some of those companies are developing that technology.
Yes, I mean, we're here talking about Bitcoin. We're here talking about blockchain. Big companies that also have different types of exposure to the types of processes that blockchain technology might disrupt. They're smart people there, you know, they're not sitting by and watching it. They're thinking, how can we use this to improve our current business?
Yeah. Marcus, very interesting. Thank you for taking the time with me today to discuss the quarterly market returns and a couple hot topics that are on people's minds. This is our first shot at a quarterly market podcast. So any feedback anybody wants to provide, it would be helpful. If there's any topics that anybody wants to hear about in the future, feel free to reach out to us here at Baypoint. You can email me at jcantowski@baypointwealth.com. You can reach out through our website. Any closing thoughts before we sign off here?
Any Instagrams or Twitters that people can just...
Instagram or Twitters? We probably do have Instagram or Twitters. I'm not quite sure on the hashtags that I would need to discuss there. But so I'll have to, for our next podcast, I will be up to speed on what our Twitters and Instagrammers are and Facebooks.
Yeah, closing thoughts, let me just regroup to what we talked about at the beginning. Stock markets in the U.S., international, emerging markets were up in the second quarter, which is great news. Fixed income was up as well. As we all know, past performance is not indicative of future performance. So that's why it's important to stay disciplined and diversified.
Do we need any disclosures here, any compliance disclosures, or was that it, that past performance does not indicate future performance?
We will find out.
All right. Thanks, Marcus. Great seeing you in person. Enjoy the rest of your day.